What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast. We are getting closer and closer to the season. So much has changed in the past week, just really in the past 24 hours. I want to bring on my host, Peter Overzet. That jersey is looking very nice, very nice. And I want to know if you did this to trigger Tuttle.
You know, I didn't. I was actually embarrassed because this is what I was wearing last night. Top Shot, yeah. And I haven't changed since. But I do figure I haven't got to check in on the Top Shot Bears chat and the Better Collective Discord, but I assume things are going pretty well in the Top Shot Bull chat.
I don't think anybody's like written anything in that chat since you guys moved to a private chat.
The RG Top Shot Bulls chat has been bopping for the last 7 days.
Okay. The latest message, Tuesday, August 17th. The Gretzky drop has to be at least 50% less than the Brady long term, right?
Is that Britt Devine?
Yeah, Britt Devine.
Who are the biggest Top Shot Bulls in the Better Collective? Is Cam still leading the charge?
I think me and Cam probably.
Yeah, just like when you really think about bulls and you know, money distributed through the economy, you got to think about Soccer David.
I mean, we're here. We are here. Just the whole space has just gone nuts. And yet we still have fantasy football to talk about. And people tune in for the fantasy takes.
Do they, Dave? Do they? Yeah.
So there's this bit going around, legit or bit. It is 100% a bit. When someone asks for, hey, let me get your top experts for the fantasy space in whatever area. And lately people have just been tagging me. Well, both someone asked for keepers, a keeper expert. Maybe it was Ryan McDowell, I forget who it was, but whoever it was, both Peter and Tuttle answered Soccer Dave.
That was Tuttle's good joke. I saw his. I was just tailing his. Okay. I wanted to pile on.
Well, all I know is I got a free 25 followers out of that.
A free 25 followers.
We pumped your follower back disingenuously.
For right now.
I'm trying to get people good advice, honestly.
Can you imagine people that like, oh, cool, I'm going to follow him. And then they like scroll down my timeline and there is no takes at all about any sort of keepers. It just set the bar low and raise it as we go. That's the story. The story of this show. All right, Davis, let's lead off with some of the news. I want to take us back to less than 48 hours ago, almost 24 hours ago. You fired off a tweet in typical Davis fashion, and it said, "Give me one logical reason why you would draft James Robinson over Daryl Henderson." And then you put in parentheses, "You can't."
Yeah, it was a classic Matic tweet bomb. Last I checked, it has 133 replies. I've responded to zero of them. I was like, I had some errands to do and I was like, okay, like my work day is about done. Like I need to just, you know, get some engagements while I'm off the clock. And I went back and checked one of the football Slacks I'm in, and Leone and Amico were talking about my tweet. And I was like, you guys fell for the classic Matic engagement trap. Like, you let me toss just a grenade into the middle of your day. I don't care at all what's happening. And you guys let it stir you up. Like, it was just so funny.
Fair enough. But you have been the Henderson truther.
Yeah, no, I'm eating it, dude. Like, it's gonna
be the fantasy space. So take us behind the scenes. This morning, you see the tweet. Sony Michel traded to the Rams.
Yeah, I'm doing kettlebell swings at the gym, and I go to check my phone, and I see I have a bunch of ats and Slack, and I've got a bunch of Twitter notes, and I'm like, this can't be good. Like, it's never good when I pick up my phone and I have that many notifications just in the middle of the morning. And I pretty much have already went through the first five stages of grief. Like, I was actually in the middle of some drafts. I took Daryl Henderson at 52 in one of them. And I was like, oh, well, you know, it's probably okay. And then I was like, dude, is he just totally dust now? Like, is it just totally dust? And I went back and watched Sony Michel from last year. He looked okay. Like, he looked more like Georgia Sony Michel. But this is where I'm at now. He's going to lose. Henderson loses, like, the top five running back outcome. Like, I don't think he's going to get, like, 250 carries and 70 targets now. I think it's going to be more like 180 carries. But still, he should maintain a lot of that passing down work. And that was what I was most bullish on anyways, because when Gurley was actually really good for the Rams, they were throwing him the ball a ton. They haven't thrown the ball to the running backs all that often the last two seasons, but it was because they were playing arthritis Gurley and Malcolm Brown on third downs. And I feel like with the removal of a consistent third wide receiver, you know, they've had Brandon Cooks, they've had Sammy Watkins. Last year, they were playing lots of 12 personnel with Everett and Higbee. They don't have a second tight end on the roster. I actually think the target expectation for Henderson should be fine.
All right. Peter, as one of the thought leaders in the space and one of the authors of a really famous fantasy newsletter, I want to know your reaction to this. Was it as knee-jerk as Davis?
No, I think, like, I understand that you can't spin this as a positive for him, but they weren't going to go into the season with 2.5 running backs. I mean, Cam Akers is hurt right now. Their fourth running back, Raymond Calais, underwent season-ending surgery over the weekend. So they were always going to add someone. Like, this has nothing to do with
I actually Michelle. Missed that on Calais.
Yeah. So to me, this is just classic roster depth. I think the concern is Sony Michel, of all the available guys out there, you'd much rather them add a total dust ball. Sony Michel, like, actually looks kind of decent. So I think that's where the concern comes from. But this isn't like we don't trust Henderson and we are wanting to give work to Sony Michel. I think this was, we need to have some extra bodies in here because we've lost two running backs in the past month.
Tuttle.
Yeah, I mean, the fact they gave up draft capital is the other concerning part. Instead of just scooping up some free agent like Duke Johnson or something. Although I don't know the latest word on the Duke Johnson streets, but the fact that they did give up capital is a little bit concerning.
I mean, yeah, worst case scenario was them trading for Melvin Gordon, right? And like that would have been like if they trade for Melvin Gordon, I'm like, we're truly dusted off.
And I mean, the Pats played this perfectly, right? Where they just showcased Michelle all through the preseason. Smart people like Sean Siegel saw this coming a mile away, said Sony Michel is going to get traded. And of course it happens, but I'm curious how much of this too, do you think the Patriots trade him if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't look so good in the preseason? If we're staring down the barrel of a redshirt year for Ramondre Stevenson, which seemed very likely, I don't know if they make this move.
I don't pretend to know what Belichick like thinks when it comes to running backs. As far as drafting them high and then not playing them the following year, seeing that the whole redshirt year. It's like, what is Stevenson that good where he kind of bucks that trend? He's definitely looked good. But yeah, and that's the thing.
JJ Taylor is coming for everybody's bags. JJ Taylor is coming for James White's bags.
Taylor seems like a White replacement.
But he doesn't really catch passes. If you go look at what he did in college, he was actually much more of a, you know, pretty straight. Like he had 587 carries at Arizona and 62 receptions. Like he's coming for everybody's bags. I have a very bad got a bad feeling about this as it pertains to JJ Taylor and all Patriots running back bags.
So yeah. I don't want to give away too much alpha because people are expecting this from me, but Stevenson was already on my keepers list for redrafts. I promise he was already
keepers list. He's a rookie.
He's already on my
keepers. He was already on the keepers list for next year.
Oh,
you have to target. I've said too much.
When are you going to release a spike?
Keep it behind the paywall.
Yeah, I need the spike week version of Dave's keepers, and you release your 2022 keeper list in August of 21.
Okay. Callaway was already on the list.
So literally every guy that's getting steamed.
Stevenson? Well, why do you think they're getting steamed now, Peter, is the question.
Because they were on the list, dude. They were on
Watkins.
Yeah,
it's the soccer day bump.
They were on his newsletter list.
So this guy caught a touchdown in preseason, so he's on the list.
So these are, and plus I've got my redraft league this weekend, and I probably have a bunch of league mates that are listening to this and they want to snipe me on some of these auction bids, but
what is your guys' take on the Callaway stuff? I mean, he's now going in like late round eight.
Jam it. I'm so mad. I'm so mad. I don't have more of
You're jamming him at his new price.
He wears number one, dude. Wears number one.
Okay. It's not just, so Davis's analysis is number one. I don't,
Jesus. How do you get paid to do this?
It depends on if he fills out his work logs or not. But
are you scared of Chris Hogan, bro?
But Jameis Winston, though, if they open up, so like the concern was that they were gonna just like run this season, and that Jameis might not even be the starter. But if they let Jameis kind of air it out,
the neurology drills, dude. CSU said that's the next big wave. If I can be serious about Marquez Callaway for a second,
please.
I mean, first off, like wearing number one, obviously it's just
David. You just said you're going to be serious. That's your only talking point.
So he's got the right size and the right agility stuff to play slot or outside. So you could see him getting some of the easy slot stuff when Deonte Harris is suspended, or if he does well at that, because Traquan is going to play outside. The Troutman injury, I think, is pretty nice for him, because if Troutman had any passing role at all, he would have had a chance to do that when Deonte Harris was suspended, while Michael Thomas was out. But I've seen people kind of float out this idea that like when/if Michael Thomas comes back out, he might be like number four or five in the pecking order. But the list of eligible guys to catch passes for the Saints is just really whittling down at this point. And I think even if you give Kamara something insane in your projections, like 130, you would really have to segment, like you'd have to give like Jalen McCleskey like 5% target share. You'd have to give Juwan Johnson like 8% target share and stuff to not have Callaway as... Now, this new price is absurd. Like Marquez Callaway going ahead of like Will Fuller, obviously I'm not paying that. But like, I don't know, like Marquez Callaway or Curtis Samuel. I don't know. I might take Callaway.
Yeah, I think we should make the normal caveat, though. He's not a good bet in the large field tournaments where everyone's already had him.
No, it's too late.
Right? I mean, I think you probably draft him in the puppy three or whatever.
Are you telling us that he's better in best ball, Peter?
No, I'm telling you he's better in tournaments that haven't been ongoing.
No, I actually
he's
think
better as a 20th round pick. He's got him earlier this year.
He's worse in best ball because there is a situation where he ends up being worthless when Michael Thomas comes back and he's getting like 3.5 targets per game. But like if you took him in the 10th round in the main event or whatever, start him for 6 weeks. If Michael Thomas does come back on schedule, then you've had 6 weeks to prepare your roster for that eventuality and you can cut him or bench him.
Yeah. Thomas's slants aren't going to cut into his workload that much.
Yeah. How triggered is Slant Boy going to be to watch Callaway just tear it up with Winston the first however many weeks of the season?
So did you see Callaway's player comp on Player Profiler?
It's making my mouth water.
Oh gosh. What is it?
Go look it up. Player Profiler.
Trending player number one. Oh, Kenny Britt.
It's Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt had some off the field issues, some attitude issues.
Is he as big as Kenny Britt?
See, that's what I was. Kenny Britt, I thought, was like 6'2 or 6'3.
Britt is taller. Britt was taller.
A house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Callaway was like, if you weren't a UT fan, you weren't even like, you didn't even know this guy existed. But then again, that's sometimes why the college dominator scores. Sometimes you have to add a little bit of context because Tennessee has been known to just squander talent. Another guy on the Saints that they did not utilize well at all, Alvin Kamara. Like imagine they played Jalen Hurd. They started Jalen Hurd over him for 2 years. Like, I mean,
this is Dave being a Vandy fan, by the way, like, oh, Tennessee know how to use their skill position players.
I mean, why not both? Why not add some analysis? Why point out the ineptitude of the Tennessee Vols coaching staff? All right.
Well, what, hang on real quick while we're on the Saints, what's our Ty Joe take? Is he the number two behind it, Kamara?
So to me, it sounds like it's not that Tony Jones is having this amazing camp. It looks so great.
Yeah.
Tojo.
I thought you were talking about Montgomery for a second, who I forgot even like existed until that game.
Useful as always from Dave. My thought would be Latavius Murray is 33 years old. The cliff comes for running backs faster than any of us imagined. They leaked, what was it, like 2 weeks ago? They're like, oh yeah, we might cut this guy. Like it just sounds like maybe Latavius is just not as good as he used to be. That's it. Like I think like you can stab on him in the 18th or, you know, 18th round of underdog, 20th round of you know, at main events and stuff, but like I'm not expecting Tony Jones to have the Latavius role. I it's super bullish on Kamara to me.
It's Kamara. Well, where was Latavius going?
Latavius was starting to slide. He was at like pick 130 and had fallen 12th about round. 10 picks. Yeah.
So I mean, I think like if Tojo's the RB2,
you can't take Latavius anymore, I don't think.
No, you can't, but like I'm saying more so like I'm fine. Well, yeah,
but that was under the expectation that Latavius would do what he had done for the last 3 years, which is any game Kamara misses, he's a locked in, like top five running back, and that he'd score like seven touchdowns. And there was also a little bit of Pete, I'm sure you've heard this narrative that Latavius's highest snap shares of the season were when Taysom was the quarterback. They'll be more run heavy, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that was bleeding into it a little bit, I think, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Tojo should probably be going.
Love saying Tojo.
It is a great nickname. He should probably be going where like Alexander Mattison goes around pick 150. Like why shouldn't he be there with Damian Williams and Madison?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, like the only reason why you would argue against that is if you think the RB2 role changes now and downsizes, Kamara randomly starts, you know, a bigger role.
Yeah, it just seems like even when Kamara has been incredible, they still have wanted to keep him at that like 65% snap share. They've never wanted to go full blown McCaffrey with him.
Guys, I have an announcement to make.
Uh-oh, did you do the giveaway?
No, we do have a giveaway. We do need to do this giveaway though, but I want to welcome Tony Jones to Soccer Dave's keeper list for 2022. Oh, baby.
Write Tojo and I'll acknowledge it.
This is like the Swolecast has been dumb for a long time, but that was one of the dumbest moments on the show.
Davis, after your number one analysis,
placing a one round premium on everyone who wears
Davis
number
goes,
one.
No, let me be serious. So he is wearing number one.
Tell me KJ Hamler wearing number one is not like one of the most inspiring things you've ever seen.
Dude, KJ still undervalued though. I know we'll talk about this. This is actually a good segue, Davis. Before we get there though, I do want to announce the winner of the prestigious Kawhi Leonard giveaway.
Only about 24 hours too late for people who are trying to do the showcase challenge.
Had to have it. At IR Black.
He's a good dude. He's a ship chaser, Discord member. Congratulations, Ivan.
Yeah, we'll ship that. Also in the Top Shot Bulls people. In the Top Shot Bulls chat, we do trade Momes so we can help complete challenges too. So wow.
Rent sounds like cheating to me.
Yeah.
No,
they explicitly said it was okay.
No,
I should have done it though. I spent I checked money to do the challenge.
Yeah. Davis went ahead and bought everything like a
cool. I'm not a rent seeker. I'm here to,
it's because, yeah, he's a true supporter. Economy.
No, he's not a true supporter. This is the whole point of like the collectible space. I went inside of the Nine Lives Lounge and I asked specifically, is this okay to do? And I was given sure. Okay.
Yeah, sure, it's okay, but you're not supporting the economy.
Pete, have you gotten your FVV series two Momes yet?
Dude, apparently Wade's is out of the Top Shot scene and very salty that I brought that up. So we're gonna drop that.
Wait, what happened? I need it.
He was legit upset.
He's completely out of Top Shot, apparently. Yeah, we had a very awkward DM exchange.
Oh, dude, the internet is amazing. Like, it never ceases to amaze.
We should send wades.eth something to his wallet, like a bottle emoji.
Send him one of your Yetis.
No way, man. Those things have quadrupled in the past week.
Is that your nicest bag right now? The Yetis?
No.
Mooncats?
Mooncats, for sure.
Mooncats are doing well, aren't they?
Oh, they are crushing. And
is anything not doing well?
That's true. Some of the random shit I've minted recently isn't doing too hot.
I do want to say there's something like, you know, it's kind of in the "this is the worst day of my life" type of deal when you sell a hero moment for 30K. Bell's tweeting out that he has never felt
so funny to me.
Poorer than only owning 100% of one punk when he had just like Logie and I went sleuth mode and we found out like he had just bought that punk that day for like 400,000 or something. I don't know. Wait,
Bales bought a punk?
Yeah.
Which one? I missed this. So he tweeted that after buying a punk?
I think so. Yeah. It was a lady punk. I'm not sure which one it is. Peter, I'm out of the punk scene.
Tell me about it.
Surprise Pete can even do the show with how sad he is.
Peter,
yeah, not all of us can just perfectly sell the top, Davis.
Okay, so how much did you sell it for, and what's it going for now?
We legit left a half a million on the table.
Oh Jesus Christ!
No.
We're gonna look. We are either
you're invited to my support group. It's just me and my Bored Apes, but you and your punk are welcome too.
The Bored Apes, man, that's a tough scene too. I remember passing on those at Mint because I didn't like the art.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you saying that. You said they're not just for me. I would have rather passed on the art though than to like Mint 3, have three cyborgs at one time, and then like
what's the floor on cyborgs, Dave?
I have the floor period is 30 ETH.
We there's literally like $1 million in lost that we left over on the table.
See, this is why you just be a bull. You don't have these painful moments of missing out.
Yeah.
Being a bull, like just in the history of human history, just being a bull on like anything that exists has been like profitable.
Like
short selling should be a hate crime.
Here's my thing though. And I tried to tell you guys this a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I got laughed at. Like there is a mental cost to this.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. No, I don't think anyone would have disagreed with you on that. I think we all are.
No,
very
you
aware.
Guys laughed at me. And
we
told
don't
me
laugh
to talk
about mental health takes. Dude.
Yes.
No, that's not, that's no. not what we,
not
do.
On this
I mean, dude, part of the reason why I've never sold even a single Satoshi is that I simply could not handle the mental anguish of knowing that I sold something that I truly believed in and loved so much that is like worth $1 million or whatever. Like even if I needed money, I think I would like rather go to debtor's prison than sell Satoshis.
Well, that's not smart.
Because I just don't think I could do it, dude. I do not think I could press the sell button.
No, we were talking about this last night, and I actually think it's easier to sell Satoshis than something that's like a binary one of one. Like with our punk, right. Like I wish I could have dollar cost averaged out of it. Sold one fifth of my fifth at this valuation. Oh, it runs up. I'll sell another fifth of my fifth, feeling good, and I still retain.
Why didn't you guys put it on fractional?
Because Paper Hands Levy had to buy a new bookshelf or something. I don't know.
Dude, this
it is ridiculous. Like it is like the stuff we're talking about is completely.
I mean, generational wealth from JPEGs. Like it's like you couldn't. This is not the script of the wildest movie you could ever imagine. Like no, like this is one of the of everything I have been experienced or been close to in my life. This is the most truth is stranger than fiction thing I have ever seen. Like nothing else I don't think we'll ever see be like this.
Have you ever thought like, well, Davis, I can't really ask you. I'll ask Peter. Like Pete, have you ever thought like, I'm just not even going to worry about it. I'm just going to mute NFTs, focus on Top Shot and my company, and that's it.
No, I think I'm fortunate. I have pretty good mental health. It did gnaw at me for a little while, but no, I'm happy for the people that are printing.
It's not about like being happy. It's like feeling like you are potentially missing out on something.
No, but like, it's like you have to back up and be like, I have extra money in my account that in my wildest dreams, I never would have envisioned being there. And like,
sure.
It's like, it's such bad mental health if you're beating yourself up over making $100,000 on a fifth of a JPEG.
Wow. I mean, there's that brag. I knew it was coming. Six figure brag. But yeah.
I mean, the for me, it's actually been a mental health thing because like I know that exists to like not even try and engage with this NFT stuff to be like, I know I'm not a good trader. I've never been, it's just not in my skill set. So like the idea of like minting these things and monitoring floors and always having access to your ledger, so you're not too far away from it and you can raise the floor, or lower the floor, or whatever, like it all just sounded like too much. It's mental health to not be like minting pudgy penguins or whatever, or lovely ladies.
That's where I'm at too. Like, I don't have to, like, I enjoy the moon. Like, I feel like I know enough about mooncats now and everything goes around that I can just like focus on like mooncats and like another project, but there's like 100 different projects popping up every day. And that's what's tough to like figure out what you're like, there is a cost.
Yeah. And so I will say that, like, I'm not muting it like, oh, I don't want to hear about it, but I am in a way muting it in that you hear people like Logie and the people who are crushing right now, they are, it's not a joke. They're not sleeping. Like they're getting up, like people are in Discord and Twitter.
There are 900 Discords.
And I'm just not doing that. I literally know there's opportunities to be made, like quite literally underneath my nose, like in the Discord. And I'm still like, I'm still getting my 8 hours of sleep. I'm still doing everything else I need to do.
I'm
getting 8 hours of sleep. Yeah.
Biggest leak you could ever have in your life is not structuring your life to get 8 hours. If you're living half a life,
Davis,
you
can't have these conversations when we don't have kids though. You gotta
I'm going to check back in with Davis when like, he's got three kids that have to be up at 6 o'clock.
They're getting Benadryl every night, bro. We're sleeping 8 hours.
You drug your kids to sleep.
Hey, Steve, can you remove that from the
How, I mean, is being a parent, like, I mean, I'm sure it's amazing.
Here we
and
go.
Great and everything.
Parenting tips.
Dude, how do you not get 8 hours? Just like, I'm more. I have no parenting tip to give you. It just feels impossible.
Along with my keeper's list, if you sign up for the Swolecast today, you get Davis's parenting tips where he just tells dads, sleep more. That's all you got to do.
I didn't get the Naomi Osaka NFT.
I know, I missed out too.
I really wanted it.
How many are there?
5,000.
5,000 on the first one.
It says there's 4,600 people ahead of me. Did I make it?
Oh, look at this guy.
Oh my God, look at
how many
this
tabs
guy.
You have open. How many tabs just you have
one.
Open?
Yeah,
cheater. Just one on my phone.
Cheater.
Have you guys watched this Naomi Osaka documentary on Netflix?
No.
Dude, it's amazing. She's dope. She
Speaking
is amazing.
Of mental health, yeah, she's.
I'm a huge fan. She gained a lifelong fan for me from.
Davis, you have a relative that is in the tennis scene, like it runs through your blood.
Yeah, she's really good, or was really good. She's older now. I think she's like 38, 39.
That's really
she's
old.
Still in the Olympics though, right? Or is she still playing?
She was still in the Olympics, but she won a gold medal at the last Olympics, and she did not medal this time.
Her name is Maddox, right? Like that's
Maddox. Bethany Maddox Sands.
There you go. All right. Okay, so let's
talk about
hey guys, it only took you 30 minutes for NFTs to take over the show this time.
I didn't care about NFTs for like months, and it was a very conscious decision, and Top Shot pumping like has like the juices flowing again.
Oh, remember last week when we were doing Legit or Bit? Guess who was listening to us? About the fantasy football and the blockchain.
I told you when we were doing it that it
own
was
the
already
moment.
Thing.
No, it's different than Ricky's thing. Own the moment.
Yeah.
They're coming out with their own fantasy football thing.
I was waiting for Kitchen to pump his bags from some.
Yes. No. Whale.
I mean,
like some nonsense.
Yes, some nonsense project.
My non-NFT.
He minted over the weekend.
pumping my.
Actually, I have a serious question that I would like to address to Peter and to Soccer David, because I think Tuttle and I are aligned on this. When is the merry-go-round of a new thing that is being minted? When does the merry-go-round stop? When do people stop having ETH to mint these things and to buy up the floors of just, you know, all these profile pictures? Like, I could not even possibly keep up with all the ones that exist. What is your guys' best guess to when the merry-go-round ends and what it will do to the NFT economy as a whole?
I mean, the one thing that makes me think it'll go longer is everyone is just reinvesting their profits into the next project. Like, it doesn't seem like people are taking a lot of cash off the table.
And from the opposite side, you have a company like Visa and institutions that are now buying punks for $1 million. And then those people that have $1 million are investing in other, there is like a little bit of trickle down as well. I don't know what's going to end. I've already said to myself, like, the next like profile picture thing, there's got to be utility to it. You know, it's not about the community. Like, there's got to be some sort, like, this is why where I was going with the Bales thing is because when he tweeted this out, he had a profile picture. I'm like, well, that's a new profile picture. It was some NFT and I had to go find out.
Yeah, I minted some of those last night. Gotta be just to be careful.
And that's what Logan and I were talking about. Like, we just got, I mean, it worked with Top Shot. So you got to tell smart people.
Well, yeah. The one thing I would say, Dave, about that is the new, you know, vaporware projects are hip to you because they're now promising all this utility.
Exactly.
And that's like the bullshit. So you say, like, I want utility. And they're like, you're going to be able to have a video
here's
game.
Here's a play to earn. You want play to earn? You got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as far as like new stuff, like, it's most of it is just going to go back to zero.
Play to earn is sick, though. I like love the idea of play
but
to
some
earn
people
in
think
general.
It's some people think that that in and of itself is like kind of like a Ponzi scheme, but you know, it is what it is. You've got rocks and frocks and socks and I mean, all these projects. All right, speaking of rocks and frocks and socks, let's get to Drew Locks with the Denver Broncos. Broncos announced that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the quarterback. I want to know, Tuttle, you had a thought that was different than what most people's thoughts. Most people's thoughts were Jerry Judy, Judy. Oh yeah, Judy.
Let me quote retweet this pro Jerry Judy thing I had done yeah, earlier.
Everybody was patting their backs on Jerry Judy.
Pete is just assaulting my brand on the show today.
Here's a clip of Jerry Judy, what he could do with Teddy Bridgewater.
He looks so good.
Dude, the micro strategy of setting up a video in the morning has just really been paying dividends.
All right, Tuttle.
Well, I did miss the drop, apparently.
Oh, sad face.
No, so my take, and it was more of a sarcastic tweet than anything else.
Get out of here.
Go figure. But it's also as a Noah Fant bag holder is that Ian Thomas last year was absolutely miserable. I do think that was more just the personnel. There are a lot of weapons in Carolina last year. There are a lot of weapons in Denver though this year too, but you know, he's not a quarterback that relies on the tight end position. He'll feed his receivers. So as a Noah Fant bag holder, I am a little bit worried.
I've got so much Fant.
No, yeah. don't be worried, dude. That was an Ian Thomas stat, not a.
Yeah, I think stat. So too. And more of a schematic thing too with the Panthers, I think, more than anything. But I just remember Ian Thomas tilting me. I would try to go to that well a couple times last year for $2,500 on DraftKings, and it just never worked.
Well, and I was talking to one of the big Broncos QB truthers, CJ Kaltenbach, the Siege. And he was talking about how dumb. So he's got some good tweets out there. Davis, you had some good tweets about Henderson. He's got some good tweets about Drew Lock. This is your last chance to get Drew Lock before this preseason game. The books haven't moved.
See, he had a good one yesterday where it was, how does this not win $1 million? And Drew Lock was his QB too.
Yeah.
Dude, I will say I've seen some of Siege's draft boards, both.
He's good.
Like an FFPC. He's
good.
He's crushing
it.
His drafts are really good.
It is actually a huge upset, but he's actually really good at fantasy football.
I don't think it's a huge, I think
he's good
at season long fantasy. Like, season long fantasy has always been a thing because he also puts a time into it. So it's not like,
yeah,
it's Arbor not Bro, just like dude. A typical DFSer who just shows up for the draft. When you and plus when you have his college basketball March Madness rankings, you can really do anything. So, anyways, talking about Shermer's style though is like safe kind of passes, which fits the Bridgewater scheme, and that makes me think that there's going to be lots of completions going around. You remember when he had Sam Bradford when he was offensive coordinator in Minnesota, and Bradford set the record for accuracy. And who was the tight end? Was Kyle Rudolph the tight end then? I mean, I think he was, right? So I have tons of Noah Fant. I hope he's still. You're I hope just he's trying stays.
To pump the bags still.
Yeah, like what are you doing, dude?
We're talking about the scheme for the Broncos, Davis.
There are a lot of mouths to feed, though, is the problem. Are people still excited about Hamler?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the guy everyone's kind of losing enthusiasm for is Sutton. Yeah. Because everyone's high on Hamler. Everyone's super high on Judy. Everyone's high on Fant. And there's enough quotes about Sutton still, you know, working back from injury. And then now you throw in the stuff about maybe not being as great of a fit with Teddy not pushing the ball down the field as much. And he's going to lose a lot of those deep routes to Hamler anyway. So if Judy is getting the first read from him, he could definitely be the odd man out, but he was so good. So
he's so good.
It's yeah. really hard. I don't know. Someone's going to lose though. Like
his routes are so crisp.
I can see not having Courtland Sutton just being like a hilarious mistake in hindsight, like being a week eight and Courtland Sutton has 7 touchdowns and just looks insane. And we're like, well, oh yeah, this was obvious. Like, of course we should have been taking him.
Well, it's like him and DJ Chark are those same guys where we're talking ourselves out of them, but they've been very good.
Peter, I got Chark in the 10th round of my first main event.
Peter, you're reading my mind because the next place I was going was Jacksonville. I don't want to like James Robinson. That's been covered, right? But
LaVisca, we're the only one covering it with kind of in-depth right, analysis.
We're the only fantasy football show.
I do want to talk about Visca because not many people are talking about that impact.
Why aren't more people talking about Visca? This right. is a travesty.
So Peter, pump the bags, pump the Visca bags.
I mean, I guess if you're pumping it, you're saying this is where I think it's a trap, right? Because if you say he's going to get more gadget work and stuff like that, because Etienne's gone, then we're also taking him out of the role we want him to be, which is just an alpha pure wide receiver. So as long as those extra touches you get it are gravy on top of his established wide receiver role, then I'm on board with it.
I actually think the only thing it does is it just he was going to lose some slot stuff to ETN. It sounded like they were going to play him there some, but I mean, you know, they're not playing James Robinson in the slot. So he feels like he's very safe there. And like, normies just love Marvin Jones Jr. Like I bet Soccer Dave has Marvin Jones Jr. like locked and loaded week one, ready to jam him in single entry. Like normies freaking love this guy. And I had never got it. Like what is, cause he scored 4 touchdowns a couple times
against the Packers every time.
I mean, I don't have a ton of Marvin Jones Jr., but I think the thought process is that he seems to be the guy acquiring all the targets from Lawrence in preseason and in camp. Like that's going to be like, that's why people are going to him, but Lawrence hasn't looked good. I have no doubt that he'll be good. He hasn't looked good. That offensive line has looked iffy. And then you've got all those mouths to feed for fantasy purposes. It's tough to do like a Jag stack and feel good about it.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, you just got to hope that Bevel and Urban Meyer are just like, they're not like seriously game planning for these preseason games.
Yeah, you're placing your faith in Urban Meyer.
Well, you know, when you put it like that, Russell Wilson succeeds, sharp. And Russell Wilson succeeds with a bunch of donkeys coaching him.
Okay. Do you think that Trevor Lawrence's rookie season is going to be the equivalent to Russ in his prime?
I mean, Trevor Lawrence was like the one who was anointed. Like people as a true freshman in 2018 were saying in 2 years, this guy's going to be the number one overall pick. And he was, which does not happen very often.
So was Peyton. And Peyton had like the most, instead of rookie, record rookie for interceptions.
Rookie interceptions don't matter. He can throw 50 interceptions. It doesn't matter. Throwing interceptions is probably better for his fantasy numbers because they're going to be down.
Peyton didn't have an alpha right behind him.
Can we stop with
is
this?
That a Gardner Minshew?
Right? Yeah, that was.
Anyways, Davis, so you're drafting all the Jag stacks. Any other undervalued teams, players that you're looking at right now?
Yeah, Tuttle, what do you got for us?
Undervalued right now? Colts are still slightly. Wentz is still going late enough. Campbell's still late enough. Pittman's still late enough. I'm trying to think of who else I have.
Okay.
Bengals are starting to catch up with their draft positions. Jamar Chase talk is not positive.
It's bad. It seems bad. Like suspension might be coming for him. Like, I don't have great details, but it seems bad. Like
Tate
the
season.
Stuff going. Well, no.
Tate.
Yeah. I mean, I Pete might know more from newsletter life, but he's via social media been accused of some domestic violence transgression, which is obviously bad.
I have not heard this.
Yeah, there's a screenshot. I didn't write about this. There was a screenshot of his girlfriend on Instagram that I believe was inferring that, but I haven't seen anything more official from any of the news beat reporters or whatever.
Yeah, Chase has slid quite a bit. I'll tell you someone who I can't stop drafting, and that's Baker Mayfield. He is just like, I don't understand why.
He's useless, but I even though he's useless, I'm so with you because you can backdoor if you have like a weird team or a super wide receiver heavy build, you can go Baker, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Austin Hooper, and it's so easy.
Well, and even Landry is like falling up where you can get him.
Why
like,
do you think he's useless, Davis?
Because he doesn't run?
I mean, I think he finished quarterback 23 last year. Like, I don't know. They're just not going to throw the ball that much, and they're going to, around the goal line, they're just going to give it to Chubb and Hunt so much. Like, I think his TD equity is really low. Not to say he won't have spike weeks, like,
yeah,
he'll have a couple 4-touchdown games or whatever. Like, I'm not saying I'm saying I do take him, but that's, he goes late because he just really does not have much upside.
Yeah. The other thing though, too, is like Odell was a disaster last year. They, you know, they were playing Rashard Higgins as their wide receiver 3, and he's a Jag. He's fine. But if Odell is back,
he is,
know, which no, I mean, I know he's back, but I mean like New York Giants rookie year back, is what
and
I
I'm
mean.
Telling you, Peter. He is. Have okay. you seen? Have you so, seen his PFP?
And yes, they played. They played the wind games, and they had the one COVID game where Landry, Odell, and Higgins were all out, and they Austin Hooper got 16 targets.
Yeah. So if their personnel, and now you have Donovan Peoples-Jones, who looks great, adding more of a vertical element. I don't think the offense is stubborn enough to just run nonstop if they're having those weapons. So I think they could tilt a little more pass heavy compared to last year, and the weather shit too.
I do have a bag to pump. I just went through some of my teams, and again, can't speak to underdog, been mostly drafting on DraftKings. So I'm not sure how the ADPs pan out there, but the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You can get, I basically have no Metcalf cause he goes early still.
Yeah.
But Lockett sometimes falls to the fourth round. Rashad Penny falls far.
I was gonna say the only exposure I have is Penny, I think.
Russell Wilson, Dwayne Eskridge is your last pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I'm getting worried about Eskridge being a thing.
Gerald Everett.
Yeah, Everett deep. Everett is the back door that I love.
Okay.
I like that.
Let's talk about NFC or AFC East combos as far as Jets and Patriots. For these stacks, because you've got some underpriced passing stacks. Wilson has looked really good. Corey Davis looked really good with the
Wilson
insane...
Croft, baby.
What's that?
Wilson and Croft. Wilson, Croft, Ty Jones, 16, 17, 18. Bada bing, bada boom. go win $1 million.
See, I don't know if any of these guys are coming underpriced, like quote unquote underpriced though, right? Like I have a lot of Elijah Moore, but like I think they're all going fair, like fair.
I think.
Yeah. Corey, I mean, the
if Corey Michael Davis Carter, is a wide receiver one, like
he's going pretty early though. He's gotten the hype. Corey
yeah,
Davis.
He's gotten the
Corey's
hype.
Been he's gotten Corey steamed Davis. Hard because yes. He got like virtually every single target from
like
Zach
six
Wilson.
Of seven routes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gotten the steam. I don't have barely any Corey Davis. It's like Elijah Moore, Jamison Crowder. I do have a few Crofts, but even Crofts, like you he's going still like some. I think he went in the 19th round of my last draft. Like
Imagine taking Tyler Croft over Donald Parham.
Yeah. It's
so another situation as far as like when you're looking for a running back in the 17th and 18th round, after that game. I have been drafting Tevin Coleman because it seems like there is a possibility that he could be.
Ty Johnson is the one you want.
Yeah. Well, Coleman could be the goal line back though, right? Like, and he could be the starter, and you're spending a 17th or 18th on him.
Yeah.
No.
He's going earlier than that, I think, too, by the way.
Not an underdog.
It's just Michael Carter has this egregious ADP. He was playing in the fourth quarter of their second preseason game. Like, it's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not – he's now at, like, Davis in that big dog. I took him at pick 116, which
– Yeah, that's a much more reason. I mean, he was going in the seventh round
for
a little while.
He was going late, yeah, pick 78, 79.
Yeah, I have a few early shares of him, ashamedly.
I think the thing is, right, at the start of the gate, Tevin Coleman early downs, Ty Joe passing downs, and then it's if Michael Carter's good enough, he could eat into either of those roles.
Yeah. The Miles Gaskin, we talked about in last week's show, but the Miles Gaskin shares that we got until that game on Saturday were nice because he had fallen at the same
Pete,
thing.
Pete called it. Pete said buy the dip.
Yeah, Pete and I called it. So let's – Jacoby Myers would be the other guy I wanted to talk about.
He's getting steamed too.
See, I haven't been playing too much on DraftKings, but
not,
it seems
not,
like
he's not a discount. He's steamed.
On underdog, he's still relatively. I guess my point with Corey Davis and Jacoby Myers is if they are wide receiver ones with their respective teams and getting so much of this target share, shouldn't they be up there even more potentially than being with the wide receiver threes?
Maybe.
Because we don't know about these rookie quarterbacks. We don't know, like, if they could be really good.
And Mac Jones is still free, at least, if you want to go that route.
Myers,
I mean,
Jones.
Isn't there certainly a chance that we look back and Trey Lance's ADP is one of the funniest things of all time? Like, Trey Lance is my second most owned quarterback. But, like, there certainly is a chance that we look back on Trey Lance as the QB10 and we are all just collectively, like, what were we doing? Like, what were we doing pushing this guy up so far?
Oh, you're saying
up
it.
For a while. He's starting to fall back down a little bit now. Yeah.
Well, he fell People four rounds. Nervous. He fell four rounds during the first half of the preseason game and then shot back up three rounds after the two touchdowns in the second half.
But if you watch him play though, if you grind the film like you do, Davis.
Someone mute Kitchen.
My point is
you are a film grinder.
He is going. Yeah, you send out tweets every day with film, but he's going to get so many yards on the ground.
He's as fast as Fields, but he's 240 pounds.
The key is though, like how much is he going to play? Like it's what I think is going to be hilarious is if Andy Dalton wins that first game, because then you can't really bench him for another two or three weeks unless he gets hurt.
What are there any like on the DraftKings Sportsbook? Is there a line right now on Fields starting week one? What is that price? I'm just curious what
raise
the
my hand.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. Did we just like jump from Lance to Fields?
Yes.
Were we not talking about Lance then?
I thought we were talking about was
and
Lance.
Then David randomly transitioned to Dalton starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Potato potato.
They are very
mobile quarterbacks, same
mobile
thing.
Mobile quarterbacks, right. So what can
they remind me of Dave Chappelle?
So,
Lance is plus 300 to take the first snap, and Fields is not even listed. Mac Jones is plus 225 to take the first snap.
Plus 300 on Lance, you said?
Maybe at all.
Plus 300 on Lance.
All right. That seems about right.
An interesting market for Houston Texans first snap. You can get Jeff Driskel at 10-1 if you want it.
Your Tyrod season.
So that's giving it, there's a 75% chance that
feels Jimmy high.
Garoppolo is the week one starter. I'd like to bet the plus 300 on Lance.
Yeah.
All right. Closing thoughts as we head into one of the peak draft weekends for people's home leagues, Davis.
Just draft a lot of wide receivers, because we just saw with all of these guys how fragile every situation for every running back is, pretty much. Like, if you're true. I've done this with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Like, if signing Le'Veon Bell makes you unusable, then probably your projection wasn't that good in the first place. So just keep drafting wide receivers, because that's never going to happen to them.
I'd say just take advantage of kind of the thought leaders in the space. If you're having to make like a keeper decision, definitely hit up Kitchen. Super open. I'm always impressed by how willing he is to help people out in this community, and kind of what he's doing with the Dave's Keeper community is really inspiring.
I mean
kind of leaking out some of these names one by one, but another guy on the list, you know, you want to think of rookies, you want to think of guys who in next year could be in better spots, and that means undrafted free agents.
Racy McMath.
He's not going to be an undrafted free agent next year, Davis. It's going to
be an undrafted free agent.
Stop it. Michael Gallup is a name. I don't think he's going to be with the Cowboys next year. I think he's going to be an alpha somewhere. You can get him for free, basically, in your drafts.
You can't get him for free.
Yeah, you can. What, 10th round? About?
Oh, my God. Dave is not touched a draft in 6 months.
Oh, like, I have. I've got 10 slow drafts going right now.
Well, let me know when you get Michael Gallup in the 10th.
Let's see the rest of your post-it notes, Dave.
This one's about Top Shot. I have to figure out if, like, what I'm willing to give up for a LaMelo Cool Cat to sell it. Like, is a jersey worth what he's going for right now?
Would you give up your LaMelo Cool Cat for a Super Bowl ring?
I don't care about Super Bowl rings.
Fake. Even when my most recent guest on the TakeCast said he would be interested in trading his Super Bowl ring for a high-end NFT.
Okay.
So I was going to offer you the opportunity to enter into that swap.
It feels like you were just kind of pumping the TakeCast. I don't have a Super Bowl ring. So,
oh my God,
it would be something. Davis,
my most recent guest was a member of the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl, and he wants to trade.
Why do you say my most recent guest? Just tell us who it is. Is that like a teaser?
He's not a famous dude.
Okay, so just say his name.
Ryan Paganetti.
Okay.
No one knows who it is, so that wasn't useful alpha.
The whole segment was Super Bowl ring. Like, it's the matter of, would you trade $7,500 for a LaMelo, giving up your membership? $10,000, would you give up your membership to the Nine Lives Lounge? Because we don't know what's coming there. And Peter doesn't care. Because
Petey too rich.
Well, yeah, I guarantee you, Pete has already, like, there's no monetary value that could ever take the place of his Nine Lives Lounge membership.
It does feel comfy being in the Nine Lives Lounge, and I like holding it over people like MBL, who's the biggest Top Shot whale, but refuses to just.
I do not get that.
Why?
Stance.
Why won't he?
It's a bad stance.
It's such a weird take from his part. He feels like it's disingenuous in that we've all been through so much together and deserve this community, and he would have imposter syndrome if he bought in.
What a take.
You're literally raising the floor for people that do want to get out, that did pay $10,000 for a Luca, cool cat, you know, like, yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with more alpha. Go ahead, Tuttle. Did I skip you? Your
after receiver? After I get the Josh Palmer touchdown in preseason, you skip me?
Okay, sorry.
I have some very important. I'm going to continue to pump the Eskridge bags.
Okay.
Because I just learned that he prefers to be called D. So D Eskridge, last round pick. Nope, just D. And Russell Wilson says every morning on the field at Seahawks headquarters, 5:45 to 6 a.m., he and rookie D Eskridge go over plays. Bobby Wagner is usually the other player on the field then jumping rope or working out. There's still dew on the ground, Wilson says.
Okay.
Here you go.
That's
Eskridge.
That's some like useful it. Alpha.
Yes, D Eskridge. Now you can close.
All right.
Also, a plug. Davis and I are going to go do a best ball draft right after this.
Tell us where. Tell us where they can go see it.
On my YouTube channel.
You got a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Also, want to say congrats to the 4 for 4 guys. Big acquisition. Josh Moore, John Paulson, TJ Hernandez, Luis, those guys, they've been grinding for a while and they deserve everything that they get. Our good pal, TJ told me this morning, wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for FI. So got that going for us. So that will do it. We'll see you next week here on the Swolecast. Peace.